This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How are you? Doing all right today?
So far, so good.
Yeah? Good. Yeah. Mike DeCourcy today?
At 2 and Doug Birdsong at 2:35.
Wow. All-star lineup. It's like going to a Shikalimi game. No?
In the press box.
So did you end up sitting in between them at any point?
I sat between them the whole time.
And?
Oh. I try not to be a distraction, and sometimes I try to be a distraction.
Oh. But you got to listen to the two broadcasts, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
I don't think people realize you probably can't hear everything, even though you're sitting in between them.
Well, and to be honest, I'm paying attention to other things sometimes, like, you know, the game. And hopefully they are as well.
Have you heard the broadcast? No. I'm having doubts.
Greg and Kevin always do a great job. I haven't seen Justin in a little bit, so it's nice to see Justin Michaels as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course the chief is the chief.
Yeah, always.
Now, tomorrow we'll hear from Greg. We'll hear from the chief. I'll be honest with you. With Shikalimi, I'm sure it's very hard to find positives right now.
It was talking about it on my own football podcast this morning. I don't know. I feel like, you know, they have a shot this week. Williamsport hasn't played a lot. Williamsport's 3-0, but the teams they beat have a combined one win. Again, we talked this last week. It's much more mental for Shikalimi right now than it is physical. The talent's there. It's just believing that they have the capabilities to beat these teams.
Do they have any depth?
No. No, and that's been one of the issues the last 2 weeks is they had they were down a couple players, and you know, like last year, you know, once they if they lose a player, it's a freshman or a sophomore, so that's of course an issue.
Right. That is an issue. No, we're at that stage. I think the numbers for football across the country, high school football, are actually slightly up. I think like 5%.
I think I would agree with that. I mean, there was a little bit there at the end of before the pandemic that even the bigger schools, even Southern and Selins Grove and teams and Mount Carmel, teams that have had success. I mean, the year before the pandemic, I think Mount Carmel only dressed 32 or 33.
Who would have thought that would have happened there?
Well, again, and again, you know, their numbers are back up. You know, in 2024, you know, there was a year or two where Selins Grove was in the high 30s and low 40s, and they're back up into the 50s and 60s again. And, you know, the suit and I were talking yesterday about Williamsport. He said Williamsport's roster takes up 2.5 pages. So, of course, they're the biggest school in the area, but.
Well.
Even they were struggling with numbers for a while, so.
To be honest with you, that's going to be terrifying for the suit. He's usually pretty good with a pamphlet.
It's a big press box up there. He can tape it across the window.
Game's up there, huh?
Yeah, up at Williamsport.
Oh, there you go.
Who I just saw, actually, they just put in a beautiful all-weather track in. with you know the passing lanes as black, the baton lanes as black.
I was going to just pop up there and look at the field at some point this summer because it's right next. I mean, because when I go up to Bowman, I take 4th Street as an exit off 220. So I swing right by where the high school is. But it's all up the hill and the whole thing. I never did get up there and look at it. All summer long, I'm like, I'll get there at some point.
It's beautiful what they've done to it over the last 5-10 years. I mean, it's turf. It's a nice place to watch the game. It's a nice place to watch the game because the field is down and you're up above everything. The field's down below everybody, and it's nice. They've been using it for state playoff games, things like that. And it's nice to get the district track back there because that's the most central place in this far flung district.
Right. Yeah. I have not been in that press box in 35 years. It may have changed.
You know what? I'm not sure I've been in that press box. I walk the field when I cover a high school football game, so.
Right, okay.
I do know the one time I was in there for track one.
Why is that?
I like to listen to everything.
Okay.
Listen to him hit. It's easier, honestly. It's easier to spot the football because you're right beside I usually walk the away sideline because then you're right by where the guy that spots the ball's at.
Plus, it's freer over there too.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
If the game's on TV, you usually see me waddling around out there somewhere.
So they're 3-0. They haven't played. It's interesting because I did a game at Bowman on a Friday night. So it was August 23rd, right? August 22nd, 22nd.
Maybe? I think the 23rd was the opening night.
23rd opening night. So I do the game, and game's over. So I could get right on Route 15 and slide right onto 220 right away, but I usually take 4th Street back. So I'm going down 4th Street. I hit a light. Then I hit another light. Then I get through that light in Newberry Township. All of a sudden, this line of cars is coming at me. I never see a line of cars coming at me on 4th Street. I'm like, what the heck is this? And then I got to the hill. Oh, the high school game was tonight. Oh, no wonder. Okay. So, yeah. I thought, well, I'm definitely not going up there now.
No. Well, if everybody was leaving, nobody was going, right?
would have been
getting back out would have been the issue.
The first season I'm doing the Spikes, they have a 6-game road trip at Mahoning Valley in Ohio and Batavia outside of Buffalo in New York. So the last game of the road trip, I remember distinctly the date. It's June 30th. Right? June 30th. This game, Todd, goes like 2 hours and 10 minutes, and that's it. I'm thinking, this is great. Last game of the trip. I can get out of here. I can get home. Right? You talk about getaway day? All right. Here we go. The game started like 6:35. It's like 8:45. I'm out of here. Okay? And I am driving, and I got out. Quick post-game show. All set. I'm driving. And I'm going down, sliding down Western New York. And there's nobody on the road. Zero. I have the entire road to myself. So I'm just going along. And all of a sudden I see in the offing fireworks. Like, oh man, this is great. Wow, I get a little fireworks show as I'm driving, because there was no mountains around. I'm getting a fireworks show as I drive. Like, this is really great. And then I got to the town where they were shooting the fireworks. And they had finished. And I sat there for 45 minutes. I was like, what am I doing here? What am I doing? I call Kathy up. I'm going, remember I told you I was going to be like, hey, I'll be home by us and forget it. It's not going to happen.
But happy 4th.
Yippee. Nothing like it. Nothing like it at all. We did talk briefly. By the way, the Phillies played great again last night. And Edwin Uceda, I threw a changeup. No, you didn't. That was a 96.5-mile-per-hour fastball. What are you, nuts? I threw a changeup? Nobody throws their changeup at 96. How about that?
When I saw the replay, I was wondering what was going through his head. Because I'm not sure he realized until right as Bryce Harper was right on top of him that Bryce Harper was coming at him from behind either.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before I get to the Michigan thing, which we do have to delve into, the NFL set a ratings record with 21 million viewers per game over the weekend, which is great. That's a record. 12% increase over last year's opening weekend. And the highest per game average. They began electronic measuring in 1988. They had 123 million people watch at least part of one game. That's the highest total for the opening weekend in 5 years. Chiefs-Ravens game, 29.2 million viewers. Awesome. Rams and Lions, Sunday Night Football, 22.7 million viewers. That's up 3% from last year. Tom Brady's debut on Fox with Kevin Burkhardt and Aaron Andrews, 23.93 million. Okay. Guess what game brought up the rear?
The Eagles.
Yep, 14 million viewers. Okay. Now, this, as we told you, the press release would tout how awesome and incredible this is, and it's not. It was the second most watched live event in Peacock's 4-year history behind the AFC wildcard game between the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Except there were two games last year on Amazon Prime on Thursday Night Football that had more viewers. Whoops.
I also read yesterday that 14 million counts the over the air local people in Philadelphia.
Yes, it does.
And Green Bay.
Yep, it sure does.
Where it was the highest rated thing in both towns, shockingly.
Yep. Yes, I mean, the Philadelphia number had to be gigantic on live local TV. Okay? That's where you get your 14 million. And the NBC affiliates in Philadelphia, Green Bay, and Milwaukee carried it. Well, where do you think a big chunk of that 14 million came from? Whoa. Was it WP? Is WPVI? Who's the NBC affiliate down there? Channel 6? Is it Channel 6 or is it KYW Channel 3? Who knows? Nobody knows. I'll bet they did great. Green Bay, Milwaukee, right? Well, how about that? Of the 14 million, I'm going to say that 40% of it was from the TV, the over-the-air TV group. 40%.
I think that's being more than fair.
Yep. And so I sit there and I look at this, go, what are you talking about? Amazon Prime last year had two games over 15 million viewers. Like, come on. Don't tell me this is a raging success. You averaged 21 million viewers. Okay, this game, if it's on over the air nationally, like the Ravens and Chiefs, would not have drawn 29 million, but I'm wondering it probably would have drawn 24 or 25. You cut off 11 million people. Like, really? Okay. I thought the goal was to get more people to watch, not less. Strange group in New York. All right. We'll come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $17,74. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner, and now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
You see the suit do air guitar to this.
I can't say I'm not. It's Eddie, man.
I mean, you can't picture how uncoordinated it is. I mean, it's... What are you doing here?
Act like no one's watching.
Oh. Phew. He's lucky he's on radio, because they're not watching. So, okay. The Michigan suit. Right? They didn't sue Michigan. Anthony Edwards, Denard Robinson, Mike Martin, and Sean Crable. Okay. Now, look, Robinson played 4 years in the NFL. Braylon Edwards was a third overall pick in the draft, played 8 years in the league. They both had, you know, and Braylon Edwards was on BTN at one point. And just so everybody knows, Robinson was on the Michigan staff, and when everything came down from the NCAA, he's not on the staff any longer. Okay. Interesting. The legal profession is like any profession. Todd's in a profession as a writer. There are phenomenal writers across the board. Todd's one of them. We're going to have Mike DeCourcy on, who's among the best ever. And there are other writers that just aren't very good at it. There are some people in broadcasting that are really good at it, and there are some people in this that are like, okay, thanks for giving it a shot. Well, the legal profession is the same way. You have some attorneys, and Jeffrey Kessler, by the way, in the House case would be considered one of them, that's just really good at what they do. I mean, really good. And you have some of the people in this profession that aren't great. And give it the moniker of the, quote, ambulance chaser. Now, I don't know. I've seen the name of the attorney before. I can't tell you if he's any good or not. But, man, this feels like an ambulance chasing. Well, there's a statute of limitations. That's why they only went back to 2017. There's a statute of limitations. They didn't randomly pick the date. It's like, come on. There's a statute of limitations for a reason. I may be somebody that is not an attorney by a long shot, but I also know there's reasons for things. The plaintiff's attorney said the NCAA knew for decades that preventing players from monetizing the one thing of value, their name, was wrong and unlawful. Today they recognize the players should have that right. But what about all the players, past players, who were unlawfully denied that right? The money made off those players in the hundreds of millions. The players never saw a dime. That's adorable, but you know what? You signed a letter of intent. And there's a statute of limitations. Guess what? Case dismissed. I mean, if this even sees the light of day, I'd be shocked. signing things means nothing anymore, it seems to people.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We all have multiple insurance needs. We need to have pros handle those insurance needs. That's Purdy Insurance. They'll save you money wherever they can, whether it's over state lines, bundles, whatever. Because customer service is the entire name of the game for Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. When it comes to Penn State football, James Franklin did mention last night that Andrew Rapelier is it's a long-term injury, to use his words, his exact words. Chuck Losey has been talking with the media today, the strength and conditioning coach. He's been doing this for 21 years. He knows what he's looking at. Talk about the upper body strength now and the core that Drew Aller has. He talked about Max Granville coming in at such a young age and so late, and what a great kid he is, and how hard he's been working, and what a difference that makes in what they're doing. He said they're working on Egan Boyer, getting more weight on him. They say he has the frame eventually to be a 300-pounder, but he's not there yet. Alonzo Ford, they said, always was strong. No question about that. But it was just getting him to understand at this level, after being at Old Dominion, how hard you have, the kind of work you have to put in to get there. And he says, look, he's in a short period of time, he got it. It just took him a little bit to understand because, he'd been going through rehab. Today, Justin Lustig also was on Zoom. Another guy, by the way, Chuck mentioned, was Dakari Nelson. Said it's been a good move from him from safety to linebacker. He says still a little stiff, but he's at 219 pounds. And he says it's not going to take much to get him to 225 to play linebacker. So that's another part of it. And as for Justin Lustig, they asked him about Caden Saunders. He said the plan going into West Virginia was for him to fair catch everything. He says longest West Virginia punt return against them last year was 10 yards. So they came up with that plan. And John Henderson for Bowling Green doesn't outkick his coverage. He was asked about the kicking competition, and he's got three really good kickers. Sanders Sahadic, he stuck with him. That was a big problem. That was a big plus, I should say. Big plus. He hit the two field goals in the game on Saturday. That was huge for his confidence, and for the confidence of the team, too. Helmet communication. Justin Lustig said they anticipated some of the issues. He says, but he can't fully simulate everything in practice. What's interesting is the defensive guys, and people, we are aware of this all the time, because you talk about, everybody thinks about noise drill in practice. And, of course, when you think of a noise drill in practice, what are you thinking of? The offense. Especially in a road game, it's obvious. They have to go on the road. The crowd is loud. You need hand signals, communication, silent counts, things like that. plus the ability to hear in the helmet. But what people don't think about, and I have brought this up several times, whether in questions with James or just on the broadcast itself, when people ask about practice, and I'll say, well, the defense this week went and made sure they were out there communicating with noise drills because the Beaver Stadium crowd is so loud that defensively you have to communicate with everybody out there because that's the time you're on the field when they're screaming the loudest. So they do go into Hluba and they crank up some noise for the defense when they're home. And there's a couple points where they're like, you know, because the communication system is new and so forth, where there's a little trouble hearing out there. Now, that's because the Penn State fans are pretty darn good. On Saturday, you know, they felt a little threat there from Bowling Green, and they got into it. Like, I mean, it sounded like it was a Big Ten game in late October. So that's just a question of nulling that out, which they will. And that's fine. As for Andrew Rapelier, as James said yesterday, it's a long-term injury. He didn't say what the injury was or anything like that, just that it's a long-term injury. I have been somebody that has always admired the work of Vin Scully. I've read a couple biographies about him. I remember we were in the plane going somewhere a couple years ago, and I was it was the second biography I'd picked up of Vin Scully, and I was reading it. And Jack said, he said, you read about other people in the profession. I said, well, top people in the profession, because I want to see, you know, what makes them tick. Are there things, for example, they do that's different from them, than me? Are there some things that we do that are similar? You know, things like that. Just to learn and, you know, make sure that you're staying on top of your job in the profession. And there are a lot of similarities as to how Scully went about his job and some things that, you know, I do, because, I mean, there are certain standards for obvious reasons. But there's one area where we really differed. And in reading the biographies about him, and this will get me to Rapelier here in a moment. In reading biographies about him, when somebody was playing for the Dodgers at the time, he never got close to them because he didn't want it to taint how he broadcast the game. It wasn't until after the player retired. When the player retired, Scully couldn't be better friends with them. Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, I mean, on and on and on. The guys that he was really, I mean, they were close to him and he was close to them. I mean, long list of former Dodger players. But when they were playing, he always felt like he needed just that little separator so he could deliver a fair, balanced broadcast. That part I can't do. I'm around the team all the time in practices, whether it's football or basketball. And there's so many of these young people I just really like as people. You know, Devon J. Thomas, I can't say enough about him. Right. Deny Dennis Sutton. I can't say enough about him. You know, Nick Dawkins. Allard Perbula, you know, Liam Clifford, you know, KJ, you know, Jalen Reed, AJ Reed, Cam Miller, right? DeLuca. I mean, this is a lot of guys. Sanders Sahadic. Anytime I walk into the building, boom, he's the first guy to come over and say hi. So I can't, you know, basketball, Ace Baldwin, I think there were Puff Johnson, Ace Baldwin, Nick Kern. Really? I can't separate that part of it. But when I'm doing the broadcast, they either score or they don't. Hit a shot, miss a shot. You're not sitting there like openly, oh, come on, you hit the shot. You can't do that. But do I want these young people to succeed? Of course I do. And everybody knows, and I've freely admitted it on this broadcast, I said, look, does anybody think I don't want Penn State to win? Of course I do. But if a guy makes a great play that's not on Penn State, we tell you the guy made a great play. If they're putting together a great drive, we tell you they're putting together a great drive. And Bazelak was 13 of his first 15. I remember specifically pointing that out in the broadcast. And we talked about fanning the tight end, and we kept bringing him up in the game and updating his stats because he was playing really well. Because you have to do that. But it doesn't mean deep down inside I'm not rooting for these kids. I am. So when something like this happens to a Rappelier and it's a long-term injury, look, that's a bummer. It just is. And I'm not talking about the position, a tight end, and what he can contribute. Just you like the kid and you hate to see it happen to him. So that's the part, the big difference. I've never been able to separate myself from the team in terms of the players on the team. But you don't openly like, oh, boy, here's Sander. Come on, Sander. No. It's matter of fact. He lines up. The holder is Riley Thompson. The snapper is Tyler Jasansky. He's right in the center of the field with the upright staring him in the face. Here from 42, good snap, put down, the kick is up, and then you take the result from there. But it doesn't mean deep down I'm not rooting for the kid. Of course I am. But you don't portray that on the air because that's wrong. But when something like this happens to a Rappelier, for example, in his case, quote, it's a long-term injury, you feel awful for him. He's young, excited, right? Had set himself up to have a very good season. You could see he was ready to play. Like, and beyond what it means for Tyler Warren and Luke Reynolds and Khalil Dinkins and so forth, and Jerry Cross and Joey Schlaffer and Finn Fermanek, who were the six remaining tight ends, it's not a question of what it means for them. It's not a question of what it means for the team. I just, you get bummed out for him. Now, is it unprofessional to feel that way? Hey, look, I'm around them every day. And today was supposed to be quarterback club, but we don't do quarterback club on bye weeks. So I get to talk to three of them every single week. Last week it was Tony Rojas, Dominic DeLuca, and Trey Wallace. And Wallace filled in. It was supposed to be Nick Dawkins. But you get to know him every week. I mean, that's just me. I mean, and I may, and people may, if somebody thinks I'm wrong for that approach, you're absolutely entitled to your opinion. I'm just saying that for me, after doing this all these years, that part I've never been able to separate. But it doesn't. But in the broadcast, you don't sit there in the broadcast and go, come on, let's go. No, you can't do that. You're calling plays. Calling plays. You're setting up Jack. But when you're around young people enough, you root for them. You want them to do well. That's me. I mean, that's me. And it may not be you, which I completely understand. All right, we'll take a break. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
It's always interesting that sports has a lot of myths to it. I talk about this all the time. And if you've ever watched the Manning cast, okay, I give Peyton Manning all the credit in the world. Or like, he's just straight out honest with people about things. And he says halftime adjustments, okay, is one of the biggest myths in football. That doesn't mean you don't make an adjustment here and there. And did Penn State make an adjustment? Sure. And there's a lot of things that happen during the course of the game where you're making adjustments anyway. You know, that's why with the iPads now, you're looking to make these adjustments as you go in the game. And Penn State made some adjustments. But there wasn't like some magic formula at halftime, like, voila, we made adjustments, you know. Right? They talked to the players at halftime. But it's not what you think it is, okay? As Peyton Manning said last year in the Manning cast, it's one of the biggest myths of football. I know it wrecks your idea of football or of sports. But it's a fact. I know. Here's one for you. It was a tighter game, so they're going to get crushed in practice. Probably heard that one, right, Todd? Oh, they're going to get crushed. No. Now, there's certain things that come up. For example, if a guy has a penalty in practice, whoo! Guess what? It's brought up and the point's made because you can't have any more penalties like this. They've got 15 penalties in two games. That's too much. Concentrate. Lock in. And yeah. You know, now you heard me talk about being around the players all the time. I mean, Todd, you've been a pro for a long time. It's just, for me, that's the one area of the separator I can't make along the way.
The pro a long time might be debatable as well, but I always tell people that, like, now during the regular season, I really don't care who wins, you know? It's two local teams playing each other, I don't care who wins. But once we get to the playoffs, all bets are off. Not openly rooting, but I'm certainly going to these games hoping that our local team wins and the kids are successful.
Right. And that's how I look at every game out there. You're not out there. You can't openly root on the air. That's wrong. Okay? And I've never referred to Penn State as we or us on the air. Now, does Jack? Yeah, but Jack's one of the 10 most famous people in the history of the program. You know, I mean, he set the foundation for things in a lot of ways. So, yeah, it's we and us to them. But, like, you know, I mean, I may be a Penn State graduate, but that is a separator for me. I don't refer to Penn State in the air as we and us. But it doesn't mean I don't want the kids to do well. And it absolutely is crushing to me when one of the kids gets hurt. Yeah.
It is kind of interesting in this day and age, being, you know, you being of a, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, a different generation. If you were 30 years younger, I wonder if you would refer to them as we and them, because that seems to have gone by the wayside in this era.
Probably it is a generational thing, I believe.
I would never, I mean, even if I, you know, I would root for Penn State too, but there is no way I would call them we or us.
Right. That's interesting, because there are times, for example, and this happens a lot when I grade classroom talk shows, where I've heard the young broadcasters refer to Penn State as we, and I've had to tell them, not scold them, but tell them, I said, look, stay away from that professionally. Now, do I ever use the word we when it comes to Penn State? Yeah, when I'm talking about, hey, we traveled to the West Coast, I was on the plane.
Yeah.
Right, so it is we. Mike DeCourcy, a pro's pro, next half hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.